We know that the youth is so quick to, like, you know, move on to the next talking stage, move on to the next romantic partner. We're all in love with the honeymoon phase. But then the older generation is telling us, like, yo, the youth, you guys are too excited.
Yeah.
Like, hold on, go through the pain. Once you pass the 3-year mark and you, you know, overcome all of these barriers and you're able to see that, like, you know how to problem solve when it comes to communication, when it comes to issues and all these things, then you really get to true love. But it's like, how do you know when you're just not with the right person for you? Or maybe you're not the right person for someone at that current time.
My friend Amo likes to say, you need to treat your friendships the same way, the same respect, the same love that you would treat a relationship. Because if you don't communicate, if you don't check in, all those things, what type of relationship is it? You know what I'm saying? So when you do fall into your friendships, make sure that you, even when you are in relationships, you understand that you still have accountability to be there.
Because a lot of men, what they do is that when they break up, when they feel like the relationship is at the end, they hold on and then they cheat. And then they treat their partner badly. And they lose respect for their partner. And they lose care and time and dedication and you know, and they lose the ability to create a safe space for their partner. And I would rather always, 10 times out of 10, choose to break up with the person than live in a toxic environment with them.
Hi guys.
Yo, welcome back to a brand new episode of Seated with Lebo and Tato Rampedi. I am your host, Tato Rampedi.
I'm Lebo Rampedi,
the other host.
Yeah. And it's time to grab your favorite seat. I haven't said this in so long, but it's time to grab your favorite seat with your two favorite brothers, guys.
Yeah,
we are a podcast that believes in bettering oneself and also just having a good time while doing it, bro. What's wrong with laughing while doing it? And today we're gonna take like a different route. I don't know if you guys can see. We're very warm.
Yeah, we're very comfortable.
We're cozy.
You know, we realize that we really struggle to shoot a podcast because we do so many other things. Like we've got Asmanjita pushing. Lebo's got a full time job. I've got a full time creative job as Tato Rampedi.
Yeah.
And like, no man, when we should be comfortable.
Yeah.
So we're gonna give out this set a chance.
Yeah. You guys will let us know if you like it. You don't. Yeah.
We only have two angles because, like, we decided to just give two angles a try. We can't do a third angle because, like, it's just very difficult. Maybe if we try other creative things. But we want it to be comfortable, man. And I'm very comfortable. Are you comfortable?
I'm perfect.
I mean, you're in a fit sock.
Yeah.
I'm on a couch. It's very, very comfortable.
Yeah. La wana tato apedi a scarf, guys.
Yeah.
Is it a scarf? That's what they call it.
Yeah, it's a scarf. From Zara.
Somewhere? Zara.
Yeah, this is Zara. This is a
costume. It's very nice.
Yeah, thank you.
You look amazing, by the way.
Serious, I appreciate that. So if you guys don't know, I've been really trying to improve my fashion, man, and my style. So today I was like, let me go for a semi smart look or like a smart casual look.
Yeah,
man, because I wanted to come through to you guys. We're sorry for not posting for quite some time. Stress less, like we are online.
Yeah,
we're
back. Good.
We are back. We are very excited to be rolling. And yeah, man, let's get into seated.
Yo, so of course, I think there's a topic that we all have touched on multiple times, but each different time it just becomes a bit more personal, has a different experience, which is of course breakups. I think right now in the season of life, things are very tough, things are shaky. So I wanted to just, actually it was my idea to have this whole theme, just have a conversation about it and just talk about it. I find our conversations have a lot of healing parts to it. So I thought that this would be a very great idea to just...
So are you going through a breakup?
I'm currently going through a breakup.
Oh, okay, cool.
Well, I'm currently going through a breakup.
This should bring healing to you. But before that, guys, you guys know the first question we always ask.
How are you?
What have you been up to? Lebo's very eager to go into this conversation.
I'm so eager.
He's very excited to speak.
How am
about
I? I'm okay. I'm fine.
You see, you're wearing shades.
Yeah.
Wearing beanie, dressing better.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just...
You look healthy.
Yeah.
Your skin is amazing.
Thanks. God bless you.
Amen. I receive. Let me talk.
How am I? I'm okay. I think I've been very, like, that PC is Joe. Like, I've been very spread thin because of the fact of, like, the portfolio right now is crazy. Like, it's a lot of things on paper. It's the job. It's
the
podcast. It's Asmanjita. It's my personal brand and things that I have to do, my businesses, managing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's been quite hectic, and like doing it all without a partner has been very, very, very stressful, because I think a lot of what held me down was actually like my partnerships and all those individual things.
Yeah.
But
in what sense? Like, would you fall into the relationship, or
you know, sometimes sometimes there's a, just that person can tell you when to like chill. I think I'm like a 24/7 like robot.
Yeah.
So I don't know when to say stop, but now I have to teach myself and stuff like that. But besides that, I'm okay, man.
Yeah.
I'm learning to just be, Joe. Yo. Mfana, not to overcomplicate. Yeah. Joe, like live life. You feel me? Yeah,
100%.
I think what about you? How are you?
I'm great. And it's so funny because we were shooting Thought Digest two nights ago. Yeah. And on the membership part of it, we were speaking more about like what we're currently going through, going into like deep detail about my life. And like there's a bunch of assumptions going around. We're going deep in it. And I was like, on Thought Digest, I was like, I'm actually not great. And here I'm like, I'm great. Which is very contradictory. But I think I'm good, man. I'm happy with how the past 3 days have been going. I think we always do this thing where we look at last month, the past 3 months, the past 4 months. But it's so important to be able to acknowledge that you've had a good week. And I've had a really good week. Mm. I got to see my friends last night. I've been blessed with work. You know, I've been working with Vodacom. I'm working with English Blazer. Like, I'm blessed right now. So all the hard work you put between January and June is showing off. So I feel good when it comes to work and business. I feel good when it comes to my happiness. You know, my community, we've cultivated such a beautiful community, like me, you, Percy, the guys.
Yeah.
We bowl every single Wednesday. So that's always, that's also feels really good because it's a nice midweek break. Like you guys know, Asmanjita was formed through friendship. So it's like every weekend we would hang out and it's like, now we get to hang out and
work together.
Work together because we all love creating and make money. So it's just like becoming even more beautiful and it's becoming very fruitful for all of us. So I'm great, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that little statement you said about like, you know, even though we like analyze like the month and like the year, etc. It's good to say like, yo, this week has actually been fine.
Yeah, I had a good week, man.
Yeah, bro.
Yes, there was a lot of demons. There were demonic spirits coming from all corners. But like outside of that.
But you protected, boy. Highly favored.
Highly favored, highly protected. Yeah. You know, God has my back. Yeah. Like even now, level nine. Like before we were shooting, before we were live, like I was just going through something. I started praying.
He just the brother started praying in 5 seconds. I nearly fell to my knees just to like assist. You know what I mean? Because I was just like, okay, he's gonna just start praying. God's gonna be like, damn, his brother's in the room. He's watching him pray. He's not doing anything about it. I was like, yo, damn, bro.
Like there's many moments where like if I'm overwhelmed,
you just pray.
I just pray. You think I was joking when I prayed?
Well, it was by the microwave. You think I think it's a joke?
Like I went to the microwave, I held my hand, I was like, yo, please just help me, like protect me in this moment.
But that's
right
so
now.
Real though, yo.
Like, cause sometimes it's good for you to offload your problems.
Yeah.
So like I use prayer like in moments. Yeah. Sometimes I'll just be doing this, but I'm praying because I'm like, I can't deal with this thing alone.
Yeah.
Like I live and serve like an amazing God. I'm not gonna stand here and let it brew just watch me exist. Hey dog, help me out.
Help
me out. It's not easy. What's up? But yeah, guys, I'm really excited for today's episode. Like Lebo said, we're discussing what's next after a breakup. But before that, I want to know, like, how do you know when it's time to break up with somebody? Like, we know that the youth is so quick to, like, you know, move on to the next talking stage, move on to the next romantic partner. We're all in love with the honeymoon phase. But then the older generation is telling us, like, yo, the youth, you guys are too excited.
Yeah.
Like, hold on, go through the pain. Once you pass the 3-year mark and you, you know, overcome all of these barriers and you're able to see that, like, you know how to problem solve when it comes to communication, when it comes to issues and all these things, then you really get to true love. But it's like, how do you know when you just know the right person for you? Or maybe you're not the right person for someone at that current time.
I think, well, before we even like get into that, I think it's very important to say that no one gets into a relationship thinking, oh, I want this to end one day.
Oh, yes, true, yeah. True.
I think I want to say that first because I think a lot of people... No one ever goes into a relationship saying, oh, by the way, I hope this is going to hurt me and punish me.
I just want to contest you there.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry for cutting you. Because I've heard you in your previous relationships when like, you'd be like, oh yeah, I'm not going to marry this person. So you're anticipating it ending.
Yeah, no, but it's like you hope that you can marry the potential of who they'll become.
Dangerous.
So, but you see the foundation as like, oh, like this person's really great, but the potential of who they could become is what you really attracted to.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I want to say first before answering that question, like no one ever goes into a relationship saying like, I wish to hurt this person beyond measure 100%. And do a character defining moment in their life. No.
I'm going to teach them, show them.
Teach them, show them. And I want to say breakups are unexpected, you know?
Okay.
Like breakups are unexpected. I think people have this concept that like when you're ready to break up with someone, you're gonna just shy and like, just be like, okay, it's over, like I'm ready. Like, but in reality, breakups is when it's at that point in the relationship when you can look at it and say like, oh, I don't think I serve this or it serves me.
Okay.
And that's a very unexpected feeling. You could wake up next to your partner and she just
not starting to annoy.
Then you're just there like,
what's going on? You're like, sis.
You're like, I didn't know this about you. And that building of resentment builds into you until that one day of like that unexpected day of just looking at your partner and saying, actually, I believe that I could be better without this.
Have you ever been in a situation where you're with a romantic partner and you start getting annoyed by things they do and you start seeing the relationship ending and you're able to overcome?
You're talking about the phase when the brother hates his girlfriend.
Yeah, like just a phase where maybe you've seen that the relationship is at risk, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever been able to overcome that moment? Well, obviously, no. Because
so that whole concept of saying like when a brother like hates his girlfriend is such a wild thing to me. I think every girl I've ever been with, I've adored, bro.
Yeah, so I'm not referring to you hating your partner, right?
Like you're just getting annoyed.
I'm saying like when you get, there's always points in a relationship where you're like, this might not work out.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, have you ever been able to overcome a moment where you saw the relationship was at risk and you felt like this thing might end and then it didn't?
Yeah. I think, definitely. There were things where like, for example, with my previous partner, she is the strongest woman I know, because she always had the ability to look at a problem and be like, oh, dude, this won't faze us, right? But I think I was so in depth with like feelings, for example.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think, yeah, like it is possible to get annoyed of certain things and be like, yo, this might engine and overcome it. But you also have to understand like, where did those problems derive from?
And where does the source of this might end come
from? Yeah.
I like, hate it when I'm in a relationship when I get to the point where I can feel like it's gonna end, because I'm like, what?
You're like, what? What?
What am I doing here again? I just got here.
I just arrived.
It's been so good.
That's so real, yo.
Yeah, it's very painful, bro. Because like, we like obviously all have traits, and characteristics that prevent us from true healing in a relationship, right? And what I mean by that is that like, you'll have a problem with your partner, you will think you've overcome it, but all you're doing is sweeping it under the rug.
Yeah.
Now, as like young people, we keep sweeping things under the rug.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, from all that sweeping, we then start building resentment. Mm. And then we start, you know, loving the person in a different way, or not loving them as intensely as we used to, causing us to get to moments where you now irritated by your partner, you know, pulling the blankets. And before, you'd be like, ugh, baby, come on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you've put everything under the rug. So whenever I get to the point where I'm like, yo, I think this thing might end, I hate it, because I know every single relationship that I've been in, when I feel like this thing is not going to work out, I end up prolonging it not working out.
Yeah.
And then we end up breaking up.
Yeah.
Because I know that like, we weren't able to resolve those things in the past, and they've built up such a high level of resentment, or such a high level of pain, or such a high level of holding back, that now that thing will continuously be, you know, effect in the relationship.
Yeah.
You know, so like, I've never been able to overcome that moment where I think the relationship might end.
Can I ask you a question? Okay, cool. I think with a breakup, there's a huge theme of letting go and, you know, moving on. You know, in media, it's like very popular, this whole concept of if you break up with someone, you must never speak to them again. And I want to ask you, because obviously in traditional media, it's like that popular thing of like, ah, dog, if we're not together, you're gone out of my life.
Yeah.
But that detachment of someone who held so much value and weight in your life. I think people make it seem like it's such an easy task.
To just
be like, ah, dude, we've broken up. I'm not going to speak to her ever again. Now. But it's like, dude, this was someone who was part of your 365.
Yeah, bro. And on that, so I want to answer that question. But before that, I want to say like what the steps of a breakup are.
Yeah.
According to like a source and an article that I read. So, and this also will also help you answer your question.
Yeah.
The first one is shock and state of denial. The second one is pain and angst, or like you can even say it's anger. Guilt and bargaining is the third one. Depression is the fourth one. An upward turn is the fifth one. And then the sixth one is reconstruction and acceptance.
Yeah.
Right? So when you ask me like, how is it like? Like I go through all of these. You go through all of these emotions when you break up with somebody. Like I know like with my previous like breakup, the first thing was shock.
Yeah.
And then after shock, it was definitely denial. Because it's like, how are we not working out? Mm. Like, we've promised each other we're gonna work out, you know? Yeah. So that's definitely like the first thing. And then from there, like, it's not pain or anger, but it's guilt and bargaining.
I was about to say, you know, that list isn't linear.
It's not linear.
You can go through, by the way, it's also repetitive.
It's also repetitive. And it loops back.
It can loop back.
So for the longest time, like, guilt is, I think, one of the biggest things I struggle with, right? Yeah. And like, as we were, you know, planning this podcast, I just want to read something else. As we were planning this podcast, I wanted to define what guilt was.
Yeah.
And guilt is the fact of having committing a specific offense or crime, or feeling responsible for an act of wrongdoing.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, one thing that we all are so bad at is feeling guilty for breaking up with somebody.
Yeah. Because
we associate, like, breaking up with somebody as an act of wrongdoing. Mm. And it's all perspective-based, right? But I definitely think the act of breaking up with somebody is potentially the act of
loving
good
them.
Doing.
Or it's loving actually loving them.
It's loving them because you are saying that I am not...
enough. I'm not...
Leave enough. I am not what you need right now.
Yeah.
To give you what you want.
Yeah.
And maybe I can see I'm not willing to sacrifice anymore or sacrifice these things to give you what you want.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Like, I can see you're not what I need right now.
Mm.
And what I'm trying to do right now, like, you are inhibiting me from doing that. And all my actions are inhibiting us from doing that, you know? So sometimes I think we need to remove guilt when it comes to relationships and breakups, because it's not just the act of wrongdoing.
Yeah.
A breakup can be the act of the most high level of love, because you're choosing
that person over
that person
you,
over your own happiness.
Yeah.
Because a lot of men, what they do is that when they break up, when they feel like the relationship is at the end, they hold on and then they cheat, and then they treat their partner badly, and they lose respect for their partner, and they lose care and time and dedication, and you know, and they lose the ability to create a safe space for their partner. And I would rather always, 10 times out of 10, choose to break up with the person than live in a toxic environment with them.
Yeah.
And the toxic environment is being brewed by those emotions which you're not processing, which are wanting to break up.
I think, you know, if we can touch on that toxic environment, you have to understand, some people live in that toxic environment because you get to still get a piece of that person. Mm. And it's the very, it's, there's a very thin line, guys. I always say this, there's three lines. Like, I say there's love, there's obsession, and in between those two, there's hate.
Yeah.
And there's a very thin line between those two, like those three categories, right? And I think when you're in that breakup season in your relationship, or that finding out season of like saying, I want to leave, you play around with those three themes of saying, I'm obsessed, I'm hating, I'm etc.
Yeah.
But I like what you're saying, to the fact of like, dude, sometimes you break up with a person because you can see that person would never leave you, for example. There's a time when this girl broke up with me, right? We dated for like 3 years in university.
Please pass me a Red Bull.
Yeah, for sure.
Can I keep speaking? You can just keep speaking.
We dated for like 3 years.
Yeah.
Right? And I remember...
In university.
And I remember... Here you go.
Thanks.
And I remember her breaking up with me and me believing that like my life was over. And I was like, oh my God, what a one. And then time passed, and I used to like journal, right? So I used to write like letters and say like, yo, dear
diary
X.
XOXO.
Dear X, I miss you. This is what I wanted to tell you today. Because I didn't want to text her.
Oh, okay.
So I'd write it down. So whatever I wanted to say to her, I'd like write it down in a book.
Get out the system.
Just to get out the system, because I feel like at least I felt like I spoke to her that day. Mm. But after some time passed, bro, I read back in the journal to when we were together. And I was just there like, oh my God, there were so many parts in the relationship where like, I wasn't happy. Mm. And like, I wanted to let go and I wanted to break up with her. And I never did, because I was the type of person who believed that like, if we try a little more to like, you, this is your person. Like, you have to just be in that thing. Which brings me into a very interesting theme that I actually didn't put on this agenda, but I want to talk about it.
Yeah.
The difference between sacrificing and what's the other one? Sacrificing and overextending yourself. So you know how like every relationship requires sacrifice?
100%.
When is it sacrifice? And when is it a thing of you're doing too much? Which is one of the actual themes I actually have here. When is it too much?
Such a nice question. Because I always battle with this in like...
Yeah, same.
In
same.
Relationships. That's why... And friendships as well. Because
yeah.
everything is based off of perspective, right?
Yeah.
So like for me, if we both enjoy doing the same thing. So let's say we both enjoy having a cup of coffee every morning, and there's no tea at all in the apartment. We are going to enjoy the cup of coffee together. We are compatible. It's done. Good. Now, when there's only coffee, and I love coffee, but you drink tea, you come over, and mind you, only have money to buy one thing.
Yeah.
Coffee or tea.
Yeah.
We both, I like coffee, you only like tea.
Yeah.
When you come to my space, it's only coffee. You have to now sacrifice, right? Now you're sacrificing the ability to drink tea. You're having coffee. You don't like coffee. You don't like what coffee does for you. Now it affects you. Now for me, I have to then sacrifice and replace the coffee with tea to help who? You. If you switch the story around, it's vice versa. Yeah. So for me, when it comes to sacrificing, overextending myself, I always think about compatibility. Because yes, we can sacrifice some things. Yes, you can overextend yourself in other moments too.
Yeah.
But compatibility is so important, because if the sacrifice feels like it's too much for you, because coffee makes you sick, should you be in that environment?
Yeah.
Does that analogy make sense?
Yeah. I think that's such a wild way to think about it. I always thought about it in, does the sacrifice build or grow in any way the relationship? So with the tea and coffee thing, it's very good example, because it's a black and white scenario.
Black and white
scenario. And I think relationships, there's a lot of black and white scenarios where you're not going to agree with your partner, by the way, on everything.
Sometimes there's no solution there.
Sometimes there's just no solution.
Someone has to overextend themselves at that moment.
Like, it's just a thing. And I always think about it like in capacity percentages and like thinking of it like that. Yeah. Because, bro, it's such a healthy thing for your partner to be like, listen, in terms of this coffee tea thing, how much do you like tea? How much do you like coffee out of 10? And then you drop a number. We say, we both write a number, give each other the numbers. We open up the letters, like, okay, cool. From what I'm seeing, yours says 7, mine says 8.
Yeah.
So clearly coffee is way more important to me than it is to you. So we're drinking coffee.
Yeah.
You know, I like practical thinking, but a woman will look at you, Munda, and say, but tea is what I like when I was growing up.
Yeah, no, which is fair for her, because she knows what she likes.
Which is fair, but it's like I'm saying, at certain points.
Oh, you're saying she comes with no reason.
Yeah, there's no good reason.
It's not about the fact that she really likes drinking tea. It's about the tea was there when she was great.
Yeah, the tea was there.
When
coffee is part of your process, by the way, let's say it's your day to day, like I need coffee
to function.
You see how the level of importance is different?
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of the things, because a lot of relationship is emotional decision making.
Yeah.
Compared to practical decision making. There's a difference between practical solving and emotional solving. I think women are very much on like emotional solving. This is how I felt, therefore. Men are like, wait, 1 + 1 = 2. You can't tell me 1 + 1 = 4 just because you felt this.
That's
so
true.
And I think that's where the disconnect is, where men try to learn to be more emotional and women try to become more practical in order to meet their partners at some middle ground. But at the end of the day, even with all of that, even with mindfulness, even with emotional intelligence, there are some problems in a relationship you can just not fix.
Yeah,
that's 100%. The truth, bro. It's the truth.
100%.
It's the truth. But yeah,
and now it brings me to another thought, man.
Yeah,
we understand that women are emotional beings. Women are more emotional than men.
Yeah,
men are practical beings. Should we not allow for them to exist in that manner?
Yeah, that's where
should we not allow for the emotional behavior to be accepted, analyzed, diagnosed? Yeah. And then we negotiate based off of it. Because women are heavy on I feel. We can feel, but we can remove the feeling fast. For the sake of it being practical and it working.
Yeah.
And I've realized that if you try and make a woman remove the I feel, yo, problem.
I think that the problem is that a lot of women, and this is where I think I've fallen short of a lot of my partners, is that women just want to be understood, bro. Women want their emotional space to be understood.
Yeah, they want a safe space to be able to communicate how they feel. But some people are very different. Some people, you give them a safe space, but man.
They make it dangerous.
They need war.
They make safe spaces. They just
like they'll be like, escape safe space. You say, here's safe space. Then they're like,
grenade, boom, boom, boom.
They put mines, boy. Pressure, plated mines.
Yeah, you go left, it's the wrong way. Boom.
Go right, boom.
Yeah.
Forward, boom. Yeah. Backwards, boom. That's still boom.
I'm telling you. Would you love me? Like, would you love me if I was still a worm? Oh, why would I love a worm? Boom.
Which is why, like, yo, dude. That's why I always speak about compatibility. I know we're moving left and right now.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
These are such important points. Like, guys, when you want to be in a relationship with somebody, it is so important to look at what your value system is, what your core is, and then analyze that person's core. So in talking stages, like, sometimes it's good for you guys to have difficult conversations. And if you can see that, like, this compromise, this sacrifice is too heavy for you, you should not let it exist. Like, I've been in so many instances where, like, I can see I have to sacrifice, you know, or what did you say, overextend myself.
Yeah.
And I know how that will make me feel and how that will change the landscape of my life and my lifestyle and how my community exists. And I used to just say yes.
Yeah.
But it will pull away so much of who I am. And what I
and
do.
What you want.
And what I want.
Yeah.
So you need
there we
to,
go.
You need to,
louder.
So you need to make sure that
I
when
feel
you
like go, I'm watching the podcast.
You need to make sure that when you're in these talking stages, guys, just men, know what you are willing to remove. Yo, man.
And that brings us into maybe something you can give us advice. I get now you know your boundaries now. That brings us to the first date. And I think once you've been single for long enough, you know, the idea of romance starts to pop into your head again.
Oh, yes.
You start thinking of what a cuddle feels like.
I know
like.
Those moments, yeah.
Or maybe a lamza. Or
courting someone's daughter.
Courting someone. Or
buying somebody flowers.
Flowers. Or receiving flowers. Or maybe just sharing your experiences with someone else. Because, Kimad.
Showing someone what you've built.
Yeah, Kimad. We don't have to punish ourselves now that we are single. We don't have to punish ourselves now that we're single. We can move on, which is what they call it, moving on, right? Yeah, but, you know, the first date, you know, I want to speak about this. I haven't been on a date since my affairs. We're not in order, but... But
let's talk about the feeling and the first dates, like,
yeah,
people our age, because I know I can speak about like my first dates 2-3 years ago.
Yeah,
you know, I can speak about like let's talk about it. Yeah, let's go into first dates.
So
I love them.
So no, I want you wait.
Sorry, I'm
wait.
Sorry, I love first dates.
I want you to understand. Keeping in theme, now we're talking about you are now looking at yourself and saying, okay, cool, like I can do this again.
Yeah. So you've gone through the guilt, the back
the
and
all
forth.
The stages that they mentioned.
Yeah, you've gone through the stages.
Which for one time, I think that those stages need to be mentioned one more time. Sorry. That was very important. He said the stages are shock and states of denial, pain and angst, guilt and bargaining, depression, upward turn, reconstruction, and then, of course, my favorite part, acceptance.
So now you have accepted. What's up? Talk to me nicely. Not because we have accepted. What happens now? Now the eyes start to open.
The account goes from private to public.
You say all messages request accept.
Yeah. The people that you blocked, you unblocked. Happy. The gates are open.
It's no more fuck my ex.
Yeah. But when you are ready and you are ready to do this big step of, I want you to understand how dangerous.
Wait.
No, let's go to the negative side as well. How dangerous your picking has to be. Like, you have to be very critical of
brother, you are the picking draft manager right now.
You're scouting.
And as a scout, you need to have a scout's eye.
Yeah, bro.
Ladies, as a scout, when you're back into that stage.
Ladies especially.
You need to make sure that, don't ignore the red flags, my sister.
Not this time.
Switch on.
Not this time.
You're in a 2-year relationship. Do you want to go back to it ending again because you ignored those red flags? No.
In the beginning, happen. No, imagine, man. And it all goes back to what Toto said. Compatibility is a big problem. So with the first date, I want you to ask yourself a couple of questions. My favorite ones that I ask myself, I want to do this whole thing of doing a scorecard.
Look how happy you are. You're brightening enough.
It's a good topic. It's a good topic, guys. I love, Toto knows this. I love.
I love a good first date.
I also love a good
first
date.
The expectation, the nerves.
Excitement, the nerves.
You know when you're going to go fetch her? Oh, bro, that's my favorite part.
Okay, so go to the negative, because now we're going to the positive. And I want
Back to the negatives.
Because the positives are beautiful.
Three things I do. I do a scorecard now. I say to myself, these are the things I look for in a woman.
Okay.
These are the things that I must look out for in a woman. So now if we... if we smoking ugly and she pulls out a vape, I'm like, damn, that's time soon in the terms of the lungs. You know what I'm saying?
Longevity X.
Longevity X. F.
F.
You know, if we're walking and we're by the side of the road, you know, and we're having a conversation and I haven't been able to speak once, you know, that's an F.
F, X.
You know, if I'm eating and, you know, a person doesn't offer once to share their food, I look at it as a long term thing.
Where's the joint to taste?
Yeah, because one day she won't be able to even share a smile with you. For a fact, by the way.
Real. For me, my biggest thing is that, like, if I'm on a date with you and I'm like, so tell me about your, you know, your upbringing.
Yeah.
If I don't hear, how about you? X.
Yeah, bro. Like, why don't you care about me on the date?
Am I interviewing you, blood?
So, again, going back to the most important things, make a list of things that you actually want.
Yes.
In a partner, guys. Stop denying yourself.
Yes.
Dude, you know what? What's the worst thing about dating? I think we build up a fatigue of some sort where the next best thing is our, like, okay, shop, I'll take it. Without understanding there are certain things that you want in a relationship.
Yeah.
Certain things you want to feel seen for.
Yeah.
You know, certain experiences you want of a partner.
Yeah.
Guys, I can tell you there are girls who have been the most fun and they've been the most funniest people I've ever met.
Listen, I've loved the experience.
I love the experience. However, that is not a girlfriend. I loved it.
Might even call it back.
I might even call again.
Replay.
One more time.
Maybe even twice.
I don't know. But then there's the other side, you know, where a girl would be maybe quiet, for example, or shy.
Yeah.
And I've dated those girls too, and they've brought out probably the best things out of me. But that's not the type of person I am.
Yeah.
I want the funny. I want the... But there's sometimes we have to look above who we are.
Yeah.
We have to ask ourselves, like, what serves us? What do you want? What type of relationship? I'm talking about on Sunday lunch. Mm. You know, you're sitting with someone. What? Who's the person you want next to you?
What's the conversation looking like?
What's the conversation looking like?
What do you want to see physically? What do you want to hear?
Yeah. And like, I know. You guys are like...
challenged.
You guys are like, how? The Rambini brothers are telling us we must be strict on our first dates. Yes!
Because you'll be bamboozled to go on more dates. And then what?
And then what? You're on the third date realizing you're a bozo. No.
Yeah, not real.
Be strict from the get-go. And that's something that I'm very, very adamant when I'm talking to my friends. I say, guys, be strict from the get-go.
100%. Yeah. I want us to both do this. Three things we love in a first date. Three things we absolutely hate on a first date. I can start with the first thing that I hate. We can bounce between.
Okay, let's
do hate. First thing on a first date, my sister, I'm going to take you somewhere special.
Yeah.
I'm likely to get you flowers.
Yeah.
I'm likely to give you one of the best experiences that you've been on.
Yeah.
Please dress accordingly.
Yeah. You took the words out of my mouth. My friend said, the way a woman dresses describes how much she likes you.
Yes.
And that has been very evident.
Mind you, I've probably seen your Instagram, so I know your capabilities.
Yes.
I'm not saying go and become a fashion fiesta.
Yes.
I'm saying from what I've seen.
Ladies, equally when if I land in slides, it's a problem.
No, don't bring us into this. We can speak freely.
No, I'm also saying like for a woman, you have to understand.
Like, guys, vice versa.
Guys, I dress well if I go on a date to someone I like. I dress
the best garments.
I sometimes get cut by twice.
Yes.
Yes.
I put on roll on, then I sit like this for it to dry properly.
Yeah. As you should. I even put on sunscreen, but the date is at night.
Yes.
You have to understand. This
you
is important.
You gotta shine bright like a diamond.
You have to understand every first date you have is the possibility of this person being the last person you date.
It's the epitome of true
love. It's love, guys. You know, our people our age don't know love anymore, Tato. They don't know love anymore.
Okay, what's another thing that you don't like? So we both agree on fashion.
I like a woman who knows what to order when we're at a restaurant. I don't want to hum and hum. I'm not in a choir. What do you want to eat?
How are you going to lead the relationship with me when you can't even choose what to eat? And you're over the age of 21, my sister. You've been making decisions your whole life.
You don't know what you like to eat.
What are you eating?
How is the menu overwhelming you?
I'm having steak and chips. I have steak and chips every time. I don't really like cow.
Also, mind you, like, I don't mind you like needing a little bit of time to decide.
Same. I'm not straight.
Take your time, baby. But 10 minutes, 15.
15 to 20 is where I'm getting upset.
We can even have some drinks in between.
Yeah, drinks.
But when it's time to make a decision.
I like a woman at lunch. She's like, yo, can I get a sparkling water for the table? And I'm just
there. Baby.
I can't even afford the steam big water. Let alone sparkling, but this is going to be great. You
love
know
it.
I mean?
100%.
So, okay, your turn. That's my one. I grieved your one, so that's my second one, by the way.
So I was once on a date with the I went to the same restaurant, right, with different girls.
Hey,
and yeah, do you?
What was the time gap of these two dates?
That was long ago, maybe like 2 weeks.
So sorry, one more time.
Or a week, 2 weeks.
So you,
I was back when I was dating. Back
so you went on a date with one girl, and then 2 weeks later you went on the same.
A week later,
you enjoyed the restaurant.
I loved it. I love the experience. I love the service.
You enjoyed the restaurant.
I love the quality of food.
Give them a review on Google.
Nomad. Listen, Nomad. I appreciate you so much. Nomad. Monte Casino. Mwah.
You were saying?
So, the first time I went to the girl, and how did she behave? Oh, she was talking to the waitress.
Like having a conversation.
It was nice. Like she was like making jokes. When I'm Mary. Mary, you're so spicy. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. This person is good with people. But I'm potentially seeing a sign of too much friendliness. But it's fine. Remember you made that TikTok saying that person that comes to a brand, I'm going to
it was on the podcast.
Like you don't want to go there, comes everywhere.
Like too friendly.
You've invited the MC. God, let's play games.
Yeah.
It's nice, what a baby. Let's balance it out. Yeah. So I saw a red flag, but also saw a green flag at the same time.
I don't mind that. I don't mind a good conversation.
Then like I went on the next week with the other girl.
Yeah.
And she was very reserved. She gave the waitress thank looks. Mind you, it was the same waitress. She asked the waitress, like, do you want the waitress to leave? She'd be like, why is waitress like looking at you like that? Why are they so close to you?
Hey.
I'm like, hi, man.
First date, by the
way. Jealousy is clear to see.
Yeah. First date, by the way. So do you see, like, keep in mind. I want you guys to understand the majority of the time, just like me, you will be on the date, something bad like that will happen and you'll go, hey, it's fine. Because the person's attraction sometimes overlooks and overcomes our boundaries.
The red flags.
Yeah. And we have to understand, put attraction one side. Are you going to build here, buddy?
Yeah.
You're going to build.
Yeah. Quick. My green flag in a relationship.
The good things.
Yeah, the good thing that I love, like, bro, it's nothing to do with the girl, but when I'm able to just continuously ask you questions, like when I am intrigued, because like you answer a question and I'll be like, oh, okay, I love that you spoke to me about like, you know, the subject you did in high school and how you were passionate about drama and how you play the plays at what. Tell me more about this.
Yeah.
Like when you tell me about your family dynamic and I'm excited, that's a big green flag for me because I'm already painting myself
in
the
family.
With that uncle that you're talking about.
In the family.
Yeah, you're talking about how your mom loves painting. I'm like, oh, I can see myself buying your mother paints for her to go paint. You get what I'm saying?
So true.
You're talking to me about how
you're just like me, bro.
Yeah.
Like I think the same thing.
Yeah, like when you describe your family, brother, I'm there coming with meat, ready to bra.
So you can imagine when she was like, yeah, my dad left when I was 4. My mom's in the mafia. And you don't imagine yourself.
I'm seeing myself preparing for war
now. I see myself with a tattoo on my neck that says, kill harder. Come on, bro.
Yeah, blood.
But no. True, bro.
You get me?
What's
a big green flag? Like a healthy family dynamic.
I think it's in the same theme. I'm a big conversationalist.
Yeah.
I love having these like in-depth conversations with people. Like it feels like we're on our own little podcast for like an hour or two.
Yeah.
I also, just to include on that, the date that never ends.
That is my third one. Let's talk about it.
The date that never ends.
Let's talk about it.
I'm talking about you planning to go bowling.
Actually, tell me your best date that felt like it didn't want to end. Paint me a picture. Because I've got mine back of my head. And it was at Nomad. Nomad, I love it for the game. I love it for the culture. Shall I go first? What do you think? What you got?
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
So with me, I was meant to pick up this lovely lady. Unfortunately, I couldn't. So what happened was that we met at the establishment in Monte Casino. I came with a beautiful, you know, bundle of roses.
It's the first date, eh? Not it's just the date. Okay.
It's the first date. Bundle of roses. I put some lilies inside there to, you know, brighten up the roses. Go to a car, put the flowers behind my back. I'm like, ah, dude, I've been seeing the stuff in the movies. Then I said, I got you something, but please keep it in your car. And she was like, oh my gosh, thank you. Automatically gave me confidence, made her a little bit shy, loved it. Walking into Nomad, worked Nomad for about, got there maybe 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 4 hours. After Nomad, mind you, we ate, had some drinks, and she barely drank, she doesn't really drink. After that, we leave Nomad, we go for a walk in Monte Cassino.
Yeah.
Walking around Monte Cassino for an hour.
Just chilling,
talking. She goes, can we please take a walk outside? I said, bloody, you're not tired of me. I'd love to take a walk outside.
Yeah, I'm having the time of my life.
Time of my life. Now it's 11 to 12. We're outside. We're walking past water features. Shh, it's beautiful. We'll take a seat. Continue walking. She's telling me, oh, this hotel. My one friend once came here. We're talking about life. We're talking how we both love bodies of water.
Yeah.
It's just moving absolutely amazing. 12 o'clock comes. We go to the cars. I'm walking to her car.
Yeah.
She's parked slightly close to me. Get to the car. Played music for 2 hours. Like 12 to 2 a.m., we're playing each other music,
Heaven. Talking.
This is all in her car. I'm laying back like this.
Heaven.
It was divine. It was such an experience. Mind you, we're talking about family dynamics. We're talking about politics. We're talking about Christianity. We're talking about spirituality. We're
all
talking
the things about that you need to talk about, bro.
Talking about, you know, touched on a little bit about our previous, like, dating experiences, yeah. Like how toxic hers were and how mine. I said mine were lovely, 10 out of 10. Yeah. Can't complain about any of my exes. And then, yeah, man. It ended because I knew that I wasn't trying to take a girl back to my place on the first date.
Yeah, same. I'm big on that, bro.
I'm big on that. We could have easily come back that, here and done everything. But I was like, yo, bro, we're going to come back here, chill. We never know. Maybe we were going to, like, you know. But I wasn't even staying here at the time. Yeah. We're going to come back, you know, have boom, boom, chow.
Yeah.
And then what? I'm going to feel like everything one day.
I don't know. For me, I can't even picture my first date.
What?
I don't even know. I'd be lying, bro. To pick, like, I've had fun on all of them. I've had, like, fun on all of them, but the one that didn't, that probably was the longest one I've ever had.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's skip you.
We'll
come back.
Yeah. I don't want to answer that question.
Okay.
Is that fine?
Yeah.
I don't want to answer that question because now I know all of these people will contact me and say, well, was it the best?
Is this still on the podcast or you can't?
Yeah, no, you can leave this on the podcast. It's the truth. Those people will contact me it's not the best date or etc. in the past.
Okay. I hear you.
Yeah. So I don't know. I actually don't know.
I was talking about the one that never ended.
Joe, dude, the one that never ended for me, I've had so many never ended.
Okay, it's fine, it's fine.
That's why I'm like, I don't know.
Hey, it's okay. Hey, you're all amazing.
Okay, but anyways, but that's a very good conversation. But I think with the first date, obviously asking someone on the first date is a huge thing. And I think Instagram has probably taken, it's our new Tinder. It's Gen Z.
I'm so incapable of using Instagram as a platform to.
Of course you are, boy. You're an old head, boy.
No, it's not that I'm an old head.
Right.
Like,
what?
I personally am scared that someone's going to take a screenshot and it's like, oh, Tata Rambedi DM'd me.
So what? It happens to Drake. It happens to Kendrick.
No, I'm not saying I'm Drake or Kendrick, right?
Calvin Hart.
I just have a lot of PR training.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's one thing I'm scared to do. Like, for me, rather, like, if I'm going to coach you on Instagram, I'm probably going to start a friendship with you.
Yeah.
Probably compliment the way you dress.
I hate men like that, by the way.
Then I'll say, hey, you should grab a drink.
I hate men like that. Sorry.
And then when we grab the drink, I make it clear that, like, okay, cool, we're grabbing a drink, but I might like you. And then from there, you've tricked me.
You've tricked me. What do you mean? If you want me, tell me you want me. Don't tell me about friendship first. And then one, so do so. Go to the thing. I'm coming with my friend, boy. Oh,
that's why whenever like I'll say let's grab a drink, I'll make sure that it's a group environment, right?
Yeah.
And then I'll kind of read your energy towards me.
Yeah.
And I'll kind of like, you know, tell you to bring a friend, I'll be with my friends. And then like, what will happen is that like, you know,
yeah.
I will maybe like, you know, throw a sign.
Make it advance. And if you
make an advance at you, yeah.
And so if it doesn't, then you back
or, in or the I'll treat you like someone, like I'll be like, yo, you actually, I'll say you look amazing.
What a safety net way of dating, bro. Just risk it all. I just risk it all. Hey, say I think I find you attractive.
Okay, so let's say you've been looking on Instagram, now you are obsessed with the girl.
Yeah.
You love her for the Pirates, you love her for the Kaizer Chiefs.
Yeah.
You like the way she dresses, the way she creates content, whatever. How do you DM a girl?
Like she'll probably post a story or something like of her. Then I'll just be like, oh yeah, thank you for this, by the way. Like a lot of people won't say thank you. I'm going to say thank you for this. And like, I find you
attractive. Stop telling me I need to use this in my own personal capacity.
I'm like, thank you for this.
stop telling me.
It's like, wow, like you just did this for us for free. That's insane. You're beautiful like this.
Yo. Now you've got all of the South African men using your lines.
Hey, but it's the truth. It's like, yo, thank you. Because I know everyone's going to say she's beautiful.
Yeah.
I know everyone's going to say like, yo, I'd like to take you out. I just be myself, bro. I have this belief, and I think that like it's so. I think I met a girl. Let me actually tell you the story.
Yeah.
And I think we can just touch on this briefly. But I met this girl.
Yeah.
And she was only DM'd by people that were not of her liking. So she got this huge insecurity thing, and then she tried to like alter her personality to get DM'd by the people that she does want to get DM'd by. So I have this concept that like, bro, a lot of people do this thing where they alter themselves in their talking stages and stuff in order to like get the person, then they be themselves. I have this belief, bro, you must just be you.
Yeah, 100%.
If I'm a funny guy and I send a DM to a girl and I'm just like, and I'm like, yo, by the way, I hope there's space on the 7 colors plate for you because you're 8. You know what I'm saying? Because she's added onto the plate. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
And the thing is that's something you're going to do, that's something you're going to do continuously.
Yeah, I'm going to make jokes like that all the time.
Yeah.
So that's how I enter. And if she reads it and likes it, it's like, oh, that wasn't the one.
Oh, okay. So I should, because I don't make jokes.
Just be you, bro.
I should just be a gentleman because I believe I'm a gentleman.
Do you text a girl, say, hey, by the way, I've seen you post a couple of times. And I think that you're beautiful. I'd like to take you out. If she likes the message, she wasn't the one.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? I mean, dating is all about mutual attraction.
Yeah.
You never want to beg for attraction.
Yeah.
So if I see an energy is off of any girl, I'm just there like, ah, rah, she doesn't want me. It's cool. Mm. But there's going to be so many other, people that want to.
100%.
Yeah, bro. But Instagram has taken away from dating and it's because of the fact that there's so many different people on Instagram, right? Yeah. And me and my friends at work and friends in my group chat, we did an experiment where we all looked at each other's For You pages, right? And I was
a part of this
experiment. In order to cause chaos, the page in South Africa, on your first days from now, please ask a man, can I please see your For You page? And say, no, what I'm ready to send you. That man doesn't have cars, pasta, and maybe some sports. He's not the one. He's out of here. Ladies, tell them I sent you.
You're not invited to the next men's conference.
Ah, it's fine.
Nah, but real, ladies, like, I will not show you.
I won't.
My For You page doesn't have, like, women and stuff. It's very personal. It's, like, things I'm trying to grow in, right?
Yeah.
So I'd never show people. But definitely ask that question. You can ruin it. Okay, we've touched on social media, right?
Yeah, we touched on it.
And great way to get the first date, you know. Portfolio. You can see what you like. Bio. They see your portfolio, bio.
Yeah.
Hey, I love horse riding.
Let's talk horse riding.
2000X or 1990X. You can see if it's your playing ground. Now let's take it to real life.
Yeah.
Where you actually get to meet
the person.
Real people.
Yeah.
A lot of us struggle to court people in real life due to the fact that we've got, you know, fear. Kwababa.
Yeah.
And I think I want to encourage everyone out there, everyone listening, to actively pursue people who you're interested in person, but you need to know what to say. And my question to you and to the audience, please engage with me right now, comment down below. What do you say? I see a girl in a mall.
Yeah.
Of course, all I know is how she looks.
Yeah.
You know? So and I'm intrigued. I'm attracted.
Yeah.
And I'm intrigued to want to know more. I can't go there and be like, yo, I love your personality. Oh, I love your heart.
I love your smart shopper.
Yeah, I love your smart shopper. I love the fact that you're saving. Like, I have a fear, for example, to go to someone and be like, hey, what's up? Yo, dude, my name is Tato. I love the way you look. Like, you're dressed amazing.
But why not, bro? That's how romance starts.
Because I feel like it's like, oh, you like how I look. It's like, oh, you know.
Yeah, but yeah, that's, they say like the looks is what gets you there. The personality is what keeps you.
Okay, you know? So maybe I should say, hey, what's up? My name is Tato. I saw you and I just had to come speak to you.
Yeah.
I'd love to get to know you. I stay in the area.
Same.
Can I please get your number?
Of course, 060. Do you see how simple it is?
But then, okay, so ladies, my question is, how would that sound to you?
You see, it's not about how it sounds. It's about it's where it's coming from.
And who
where is the sound coming from? Because if the sound is coming from the beauty, if it's ready to pray, it might not go through. But if it's coming from a JBL speaker, it might be able to get across to the
that's
user.
That's so true.
So like that's what I'm trying to tell you, bro. Like if a girl, you know, men struggle with rejection.
Yeah.
And I look at gents and I tell them, guys, embrace it. Out of all the people that you want to be a what if guy. Like what if I actually went for that girl?
Yeah.
What if I actually went for this type of girl? And why not just go through it and actually see for yourself, yeah, bro?
And a big fear of mine, for example, is always that like, yo, she might have a boyfriend. She might be
then
married.
Then you'll know. You
she'll
tell
might
you.
Have a child. But it's like, bro, just ask.
Just ask. She'll tell you, bro.
And also like, if you come in respectful, you can also leave respectful.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? Oh, you look amazing. I just wanted to come introduce myself. My name is Tato.
And if she's like, oh, I'm sorry. They're like, listen, I didn't mean to waste your time. It's cool. I just wanted to tell you that you're beautiful.
And I would have liked, I would have loved to get to know you,
but like,
but I understand your boundaries.
Yeah, and you walk away. She might even say, "Wait,
did he just say
boundaries?"
Got it. This is you. So you're walking away. Yeah. She says, "Wait." She goes,
you're like, 5, 4, 3. Wait.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 But yeah, but I mean. At our age, 20% of these people are in healthy marriages. The other ones are pregnant. And no, I'm talking about in terms of like the older 20s.
No, real.
Half of you guys have kids. The other half are married. The other half are getting married.
Other half, yeah.
Yeah, so there's not a lot of good people left in our sample pool.
So that means that like ladies, you too, like if you see me there, check us, what's up? Like don't be scared to be like, what's up?
No, but like bro, you have to understand, women have been taught like, yo, if you approach a man, you are desperate type vibe.
True.
You understand? Yeah, which is very sad. I like a woman who like, you know, takes the...
No, approach, but like be maybe subtle. If you see me looking at the peanut butter, you should be like, the crunchy one is nice.
Yeah.
Hey!
Got him.
Yeah.
I'll fold like a camcha at a bride.
It's a Mimi.
Fold like a table that's used at a family function. Like,
Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me?
Crunchy?
Crunchy?
Crunchy or smooth?
Like, then I'll be there like, really, I prefer the smooth one.
Yeah, type vibe.
My name is Tato, by the way.
So with all of the chaos going around in your life, the finances, the losing a loved one, now you're single and everything.
Yeah.
It's important to understand that you're still surrounded by love, and which brings us to the next theme about falling into friendships. The right friendships.
The right friendships. This is actually, you know, I was having a conversation with Kaya and Mami 2 days ago on Thought Digest, and they were saying that like, we're speaking about addiction.
Yeah.
Right. And obviously, like when you go through a breakup, you form bad traits to try cope with the breakup. Whether it's talking to multiple women,
substance abuse,
being with women that aren't for you,
yeah,
being with friends that aren't for you. And she said that, you know, a cocaine addiction or like getting the dopamine hit from smoking a cigarette, smoking a vape. Yeah. Let me make it smaller.
It's equivalent to
visiting your.
I
family.
Know that that's.
I told you last night about this. So I think falling onto your friendships. It's equivalent also to prevent a lot of these addictions and a lot of these bad traits and a lot of bad women or bad men. You know what I'm saying? Like, ladies, when you feel like, yo, I've gone through all of these stages of grief and like, I don't know if I want to get back into the game. You don't have to fall into your friendships.
The problem with women is that women will abandon and literally like never see their friends again during the relationship.
Oh.
And then when the relationship is over, they fall back into these friendships and it's like you've been gone for 12 months. And like I always advise my female friends to always participate in their friendships no matter what their relationship status is. My friend Amo likes to say, you need to treat your friendships the same way, the same respect, the same love that you would treat a relationship. Because if you don't communicate, if you don't check in, all those things, what type of relationship is it? You know what I'm saying? So when you do fall into your friendships, make sure that you, even when you are in relationships, you understand that you still have accountability to be there and be around.
And I think a lot of people do this thing where they make their partner the
entire world.
The entire world, right? Yeah. And it's very dangerous because it prevents you from being able to have friends to fall on or just have friends outside of your romantic relationship.
Yeah.
I also see a lot of people do this thing where their relationship becomes their identity. How are you? My man and I are doing so well. Hey, man. How are you? How was life? My relationship was going so... Hey, man. How's your week been going? My girlfriend. Chief, how are you? So I think it's very important, like, guys, like, don't be like, yo, my girl. Dude, it's very important for you to find love.
Yeah.
If you want love. Then it's very important for you to build on that love and work on that love. But it is even more important for you to continue, like, just maintaining your friendships, maintaining
your family,
maintaining your world, maintaining your identity.
Yeah.
Because once you fall into a romantic partner for happiness, peace, and
the moment they disappear,
that's, you'll feel like everything you've accomplished, everything you've done is for nothing.
It's the ladder effect. Remember we spoke about this. What do you place at the top of your ladder is what will keep the ladder stable.
Yeah.
You put a relationship, the relationship shakes, everything in your life shakes.
Everything in your life shakes.
You must place, I place God. You don't have to be religious. I place God because I know that's like my unshaken relationship.
Yeah.
God will always be there.
Yes.
Whether I'm angry, upset, sad, happy, it's that unconditional love that one so craves, you know? Yes. But people place that relationship at the top.
Very dangerous.
So when you lose and now you want to fall into your friendships, your friend doesn't even remember who you are. Hi. Who are you again?
John's girlfriend.
John's girlfriend. Yes. God, we don't even know you outside of your partner, you know? And
sorry.
I fell victim to that. I definitely think that I pushed my friends away during my relationship. But that's because, you know, my previous partner, she was so amazing. God bless her soul. God bless her. God bless her journey, etc. But she was so amazing. And for me, like, being with her all the time slaps so much that, like, I guess you never, just to show you the other side of it.
Yeah.
But it, I guess you even forget that you need friendships because your partner becomes your best friend. It
becomes your world.
Becomes your partner, becomes your safe space, becomes your dangerous space, becomes your ventilation system, your venting partner, everything. But I think that it was always adamant in my life that, like, my friends would always be like, yo, but we still want to spend time with you.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay for you to be happy.
Yeah.
But it's okay also for you to understand you still have a role as a friend.
Yes.
But yeah, falling into friendships is very important. I mean.
Yeah. And when we say fall into friendships, like, we're basically referring to the fact of going to your friends in moments of sadness.
Yeah.
Creating.
Or loneliness. Routine, loneliness.
Yeah. Or loneliness. Creating routine with your friends. Like, for example, we fall onto each other automatically every single Wednesday.
Yeah.
Because we have to go bowling. So if someone's like, yo, I'm not coming, other person will call and be like, how, dude?
Why not? What's pushing you to be away?
Why are you trying to be alone? Because, like, we know that, like, sometimes
We isolate
in times of being down. And, like, you're like, nah, I don't feel like going bowling today. I just had a shit week. But we know that, like, when we
if you come bowling, you're gonna have fun. Yeah.
And you're gonna like, you know, it's gonna make you smile. It's gonna make you happy. For example, Lebo and Khunza didn't want to come yesterday. Khunza wanted to come, but he just couldn't come because you just had an issue. Lebo was there like, nah, I'm not in the mood. And then Percy was like, no, dude, you're coming to bowling.
He's like, if it's not finance, not transport, you have both, come to bowling. Why? What are you going to do at home?
Yeah.
And yeah, but then you get gaslights enough and then you go and then you have a lot of fun. I had the time of my life.
You get to love, you get to have experience. I had the time of my life. Like, it's fun and it gives life purpose.
Yeah, which is so important because you have to understand it's not replacing, but energy doesn't die. The love that you can give is always going to be able, that ability will always be there.
Yeah.
It's just about transferring that love into something more safe, more loving, more towards you.
Yeah.
And that can be the smallest thing of falling into your friends, buying yourself clothes, buying something for your space, spending alone time for 4 hours alone.
Yeah.
Or not even saying a word for a full day, you know? Or picking yourself for a day.
Yeah.
Like, it's what we're trying to say is that, like, yo, fall into the things that serve you.
100%.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And like, it can also be falling into yourself. But like, I definitely think there needs to be a lot of balance when you fall. Mm. Like, fall into family, minimum of monthly, fall into friendships weekly, because, like, why are you living life alone?
Yeah.
Fall into yourself.
Humans were meant to move in tribes, bro.
Yeah, move in tribes. So family once a month, fall into friendships weekly, fall into yourself at least 3 times a week.
Yeah.
You know, and sleeping doesn't count. Or even twice a week. And then fall into your romantic partner 2-3 times a week too.
Yeah.
Or twice, like.
and then fall into anything spiritual, body, mind, etc. That's a daily one.
You should be praying daily or journaling daily or doing something that helps your
mind, soul. Yeah.
You know, that's very, very important. But guys, this has been a great conversation. Yeah. A lot of unpacking, a lot of unlearning. We're about to go to the memberships now. So everyone that's watching now, we appreciate you. If you guys want to watch an extended version of this, we've got two types of members. We've got the close friends and we've got the insiders. The insiders get to watch that second bit of content. The close friends get to watch the second bit of content, and then the insiders watch that second bit of content, and the close friends just get updates and just, you know, basically you guys get to give back to us and help us just, you know, continuously invest in equipment, you know, grow the network. We've got Thought Digest because we were able to, you know, have support from you guys from an access perspective. So thank you so much. Please do subscribe. This has been absolutely amazing. And we will see you guys next week with your favorite seated podcast. Thank you. Ray Bans and catamarans.